Welcome, everyone, to the October 11th version of the Zooch and Wild podcast. I am so glad that we got that intro out of the way. We are playing with a new system right now in StreamYard, but forget the system, Zooch. What an amazing weekend we just had of college football, and we got an even better one coming up.
Oh, it was great. What was it, three? Yeah, three top 10 teams lost. You had some upsets that maybe people were calling the Michigan and Tennessee to lose, but nobody picked Vanderbilt to beat Alabama. So
no one picked that. You had Miami almost losing. I was at that game. We'll briefly touch on that later, and then we're going to get into this is the date that before the season, me and you both talked about. I know people who watch college football circled on their calendar October 12th. This is tomorrow for the people who are listening. It is on paper probably one of the biggest days of the season so far. There's a lot of great games. Ohio State, Oregon, we're talking about. We're talking Red River rivalry, including also a game that, you know, started to look a little iffy, but LSU plays Ole Miss. That's like your dark horse game. That's insane that LSU Ole Miss is kind of like, not an afterthought, but that's your third best game. You got a great weekend of college football, Zooch, and I cannot wait to get into it. Talking last weekend, talking this weekend.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks where you can't, like the first couple weeks, unless you're one of the teams who plays like that opening, like that opening week, or maybe the second week when you had like Texas, Michigan, you're excited for it, but you're not like anticipating it, but like this week with Ole Miss, for example, I'm just ready for the game to get here. I hate the waiting. I'm at that part in the season where you just want to like, you want the game to get here because it's all you mm-hmm. think about all week long. So,
yeah, it is that part of the game, and we're going to get into it. And before we do, just want to remind everyone that you can still get 15% off all Settle Down merch on the Settle Down store by using that code shown below, ZANW15, all caps. That's this capital Z. And sign W15 for 15% off on all Settled Down merch. We got some great new hockey shirts that are in, little Celebrini Smith 24 for the election season if you're a Sharks fan, or you can support this podcast, get yourself a Zooch and Wild shirt. I was wearing my Oski-themed Zooch and Wild shirt in Memorial Stadium on Saturday when I was at the Cal game. Not the result we wanted, but always a good time in Memorial Stadium. Tailgated on top of a parking garage. That was the first. Space is limited in the Bay Area. But before we talk to that, we are going to talk about the main story of the week. Strike friggin' one for Alabama. Vanderbilt beat Alabama first time in over 40 years. The sky is falling in Tuscaloosa. Or at least that's what their fans are making it seem like.
Look, we were like half joking, but being serious too, when he went down there about the, like, they don't treat a loss like Washington would treat a loss, and he is getting the full Bama fan treatment after. I mean, you have articles being written that say he looks like he picks up his clothes next to the Twinkies at Walmart. You have, which that is my favorite article ever written. It was by somebody with like alabamalive.com or something like that. You had legend, longtime Paul Feinbaum caller having a complete and total come apart about Vanderbilt beating Alabama. You had the dude on the show who said that Alabama needs to come out and run the wishbone like Bear Bryant secretly did against USC in 1970. I mean, it was, the whole show was just like, get used to it because they've already forgotten you beat Georgia. Like, you just can't. Like, what we were being serious about. You cannot lose to Vanderbilt when you're at Alabama.
These fans are so accustomed to winning, and especially in Kalen DeBoer, he is a perceived outsider, and you do get less slack when you are this perceived outsider, not SEC born and bred. You kind of see that. We're going to talk about later on. Sam Pittman, you know, he kind of gets a little bit more leeway because he is Arkansas, represents that. Kalen DeBoer is an outsider, and when you blow these big games, but I don't want to even say blow. We're going to get into the game later. I just want to touch on, like, the fans first. They are treating this like they have – the season's over. Like, this is – it feels like the fan response is like, we're in the old BCS and like they're not going to be a top two team now. Also, do want to say, I also want a second legend. That was an all-time come apart on the Paul Feinbaum show. 7-minute clip. That's why this segment is called Strike Friggin' One. I'm not going to spoil it. Please look up Legend Alabama. You guys might remember from when Alabama was trying to hire a coach when Nick Saban left. He is also the no damn Dabo guy. So please give that a listen. But before we even get into the game, we're talking fans. Vanderbilt fans were insane. They walked the goalpost down Broadway, Zuch. I mean, it was bizarre world in Nashville seeing all this stuff happen. Alabama doesn't lose to Vanderbilt. I can't even get the word out of my mouth in how long, a week? Like, it still doesn't seem real to me.
No, and it's to like add on to your point, we didn't have a show last week because I had some family stuff I had to take care of. But for example, we all know a couple weeks ago, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. And I was annoyed when it happened. But then you like kind of sit down and think about it. And you're like, okay, like, and I think a little bit of it happened with Alabama too, that they didn't play their best. Like, I think there's time. No. Like, I missed a good portion of that game because I was in a wedding this weekend. Shout out Troy. Married Troy now.
Shout out Troy.
But
Mr. Optimism.
Yeah, he was quite optimistic, I must say. And then the Mets loaded the bases legitimately when we like walked outside to have the wedding ceremony. They were down. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You just had people in the crowd motioning the score of the game to everyone else in the wedding. It groomsmen wise, at least, was from New York City besides me. But anyway, like I watched the Ole Miss game and I'm like, okay, you know, they missed a couple big plays, had a red zone turnover, stuff like that. And I'm not saying Kentucky and Vanderbilt are Ohio State or anything like that, but you can't always get away with that. Especially no, I think can't. Now when, yes, some teams are going to benefit more in the transfer portal than others, but you're not, I don't know. Like it's, I don't think it's, it's not a good, neither loss is good. I think the Vanderbilt loss is way worse because I look at Kentucky and I'm like, oh, you know, they got killed by South Carolina, and I like had looked after the Ole Miss game that Saturday night. I looked up that game a little bit more and I was like, I didn't realize, you know, Kentucky had more yards than them. It was just Kentucky kind of played bad in that game. And that's going to happen throughout the season. Yeah, like every team is going to have a close.
I completely agree to some of it. Like Alabama looked, if there's one word to describe that game, it's just lackadaisical. You know, you come out slow and you let Vanderbilt score and then it's pick six. And it's almost like the Alabama players never felt an urgency to win. I don't know if you felt that it was like, oh, we're Alabama. We're just going to find a way to win. And they didn't know that. I mean, credit to Diego Pavia. I want to take nothing away from him. Like if he's not the quarterback for Vanderbilt, they don't win that game. But this wasn't like a fluky upset. That's like this wasn't a fluky game. Like it's Vanderbilt won the turnover battle and they won the rushing battle. They gave up less than 100 rushing yards and they rushed for over 100 yards. Like that's not a fluke. That is Alabama just thinking that they can just I seriously think that they were still riding the high and they were looking ahead. Looking ahead to next week. Whatever DeBoer wants to say, and I think if you want to point for a reason of why they lost this game, I think coaches and players equally share the blame of looking ahead onto that huge monster game, not tomorrow, but the next week.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's certainly recoverable for Alabama. Like it's, and that's what I was, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the group chat and stuff. Like, yeah, the loss sucks, obviously. Like you never want to lose or whatever, but you're overall, you're fine. You know, Alabama, if they're 10-2, I mean, you don't want to go like 9-3, then that starts getting a little, like it wasn't, this is not the game you had chalked up as like, oh, like that could be a loss. That's the part that's bad about it. Although, but I don't necessarily think that it changes, like maybe now you don't if, but everyone, I'm trying
I
to
think
say,
all
yeah,
it changes
has
is
a loss is, except Texas.
Yeah, no, I think all this changes is people's perception of the SEC, especially this weekend. It's, you know, people joke about, oh man, the NIL, or it's not even a joke. People have said NIL doesn't change things. It does. I've been saying this for years. It does truly shorten the gap. Now, does it shorten the gap in terms of can Vanderbilt compete for national titles? Probably not. Can it close that gap? No, but Vanderbilt's going to have some guys. And like Kentucky's going to have guys. You see teams like Ole Miss, they have some guys now. And that's because like the prestige of an Alabama where it's like, I have to go here to make my own. It's like, no, you don't. You can find your own anywhere. We were seeing it with Ashton Gentry, not an NIL thing, but he can do his thing at Boise just because of the way the college football is so much more visible nowadays. Like you don't have to go to one of these big time powers. I think you're going to continue this see to happen. I think the last thing we do have to talk about with this game is we have to talk back about these reactions. Zuch, these were, I mean, this is some of the greatest stuff I've seen ever on Twitter. I know you have the tweet of the week that we're going to bring up in your list segment, but my goodness, I was seeing some crazy stuff. I saw the, what do they say? They said he looked like he gets his clothes from Walmart and he shouldn't be wearing a schlubby workout shirt that you look like you get next to the Hostess Twinkies. It's just, what are we doing?
Well, and it's, I mean, he, it is a, like, there is a, at the University of Alabama, there are, you don't get any better highs and you don't get any better lows. Cause I truly believe there's not a more passionate fan base on planet Earth than a Bama fan. And when things are going well, it's going really, really well. But if they did somehow lose to South Carolina this week, like we,
oh
like,
boy, I don't,
we're kind of making fun of the honeymoon is over call, but
no, he'll be hot seat. Like, and I'm not joking. Like, right. There will literally be fans being like, hey, maybe like this is like we cut it. Like, if Kalen DeBoer loses, and we talked about this before the season, like, what if Kalen DeBoer loses three games and is ranked like 19th in the country and like misses the playoff?
Yes.
Like, that's a very realistic scenario. Yeah. It's crazy to me. Crazy to me. But,
and it's, yeah. And with the portal and stuff like that, it's not like Kalen DeBoer was left with, you know,
no,
like his situation is a little bit different than what Hugh Freeze's situation was. And Hugh Freeze is kind of on the getting teetering on that hot seat edge too of, all right, you know, we're expecting results now. Like you've had like the excuse making is over. So
mm-hmm. We'll see. Agree. Yeah. We'll see with Alabama. Only time will tell. That Tennessee matchup in a week is going to be amazing, but there's a lot of other upsets this week. Zuch, you know, Tennessee losing to Arkansas, shout out Cody with his five favorite teams. It sounds like you had Louisville losing. You had Michigan losing, USC losing, Miami almost losing, a lot of upsets. And I want to pose this question to you. Who is it? And it's a two-parter. Who do you think comes back the most and can use this upset as a learning opportunity? And which one of these teams, the upset, do you think kind of kills their season?
So I think the team that could come back the most from it, because it's only their first one, is Tennessee.
Agree.
I think Tennessee has not a lot, but they still have some wiggle room. You know, they have Alabama next week. You're 10-2. I would be shocked if a 10-2 SEC team is not in the playoff. With Michigan and USC, you have that second loss now. That mm-hmm. second loss was to teams who are not very good. I mean, they're okay. I don't think they're, you know, bottom feeders, but Washington and Minnesota, like Washington went to the national title last year and wasn't even the top 25. Minnesota is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And it's their second loss, you know. Yeah, I guess if they both won out, they'd be okay.
Yeah,
but
no, I
mean, USC has Penn State still. USC has Oregon still. Michigan has Ohio State still.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think. Michigan has Penn State still, I'm pretty sure. So there, I mean, two losses before the middle of October is not
yeah.
great no matter who you are. So
yeah, I agree. I think that the SEC schools that won, I totally forgot. Sorry, Aggie Nation. I think A&M and Tennessee like can use these games the best. And you know, whether you want to say Missouri was overrated, I think Texas A&M wasn't even like a gambling underdog. Like they were a favorite. But I think Tennessee and A&M are the teams that can use this, or Tennessee can use this, is the team that lost that can use this as the springboard. Texas A&M, I think, is the team that won can use this as the springboard. You know, Tennessee with their loss, 0 points in the first half, I just think they fell flat. Like, I trust Josh Heupel. I think Nico, like, that is the definition of just having a flat game. And credit to Arkansas. They ran the ball. They needed that one desperately. But, yeah, Nico had one of those freshman games.
What is up with Tennessee quarterbacks on the last play of the game just running out of bounds all the freaking time?
I don't know. Also, this is not the list because I think it's funny. Whoever wrote the article or the tweet saying Josh Heupel needs to lose weight and not look like Coach Pillsbury Doughboy, watch it.
It's SEC. Like they went from the highest of highs to now you're getting called the Pillsbury Doughboy. it changes on a whim.
No, it is funny, but Michigan, that's the team I think that I've been low on Michigan for a while. I was even low on them last year. I thought I can't talk about last year because they proved me wrong. But this year, you can't win games if you can't throw. Zooch, they had 113 passing yards.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is bad.
It's really bad. And the scary thing about this game, too, was that their passing defense was, like, average when that's supposed to be, like, elite. Like, the Washington – Will Rogers had a great game against them. Yeah, I would say that is a great game against the Michigan defense. That's what scares you, I think, if you're a Michigan fan, was that you knew you were bad at passing. You did the things bad that you were supposed to be good at in this last game.
Right. And that's when you're looking at it, you're like, all right, we're probably, I mean, getting 30 points for them is like an A-plus game from that offense, getting to 30. And I don't know how much they're going to be able to do that just because they can't pass the ball. And can't pass the ball in terms of like at all. Like you don't, No team should be scared of them passing the ball, and their running attack isn't good enough to make it like to cancel it out. Like they can run the ball okay.
Yeah, you know, Donovan Edwards has been quite underwhelming this year. You know, I think he's a good running back, but it's like when you're the guy that slapped on the video game cover, man, I need something more out of you. Like Michigan needs more out of him. I mean, we're going to talk about him later. If Donovan Edwards was Ashton Jeanty, Michigan probably only one loss to Texas, probably still in the top 15. Like if they had like an Ashton Jeanty rushing attack, like it's
100%.
And that's what they had last year that they're missing right now. Missouri. We have to talk about Missouri before we move on. Man, I picked Missouri to make the playoffs, so I'm not giving up until they get two losses. But man. Not looking good for me, man.
No, and it.
Brady Cook looks terrible, dude. He 25 QBR.
I think out of all those SEC teams we've talked about, at least a little bit so far, the Ole Miss, we haven't really talked about them, but LSU, Alabama, and Tennessee, and Missouri. Missouri's the only one who's lost so far that I'm like, okay, I seriously question if they're good enough to make the playoff. The other ones, I think at least two, maybe three of them. Who did all did I say? Yeah, two, maybe three of them could make the playoff. Missouri, they just got pounded in. Like the other ones, I'm like, okay, like close game, a couple things maybe didn't go your way, maybe didn't play your best, but a 31-point loss. And they got a tough schedule too. Like that. I don't know what to say about them. Not good at quarterback. It's not like A&M was setting the world on fire offensively and they come down and put, like that game was never even close. So.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
They dropped to 21st.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was, it's a 15. I mean, it's a 13-point drop. That's huge in the AP poll. You know, Michigan dropped about the same. Those are two teams that, you know, if they're probably not ranked that high at the beginning of the year, they're probably not ranked right now. Like, it's right. Just simple as that. If they're not an SEC or Big Ten school, probably not ranked right now. But only time will tell. It's exciting to see all these teams. Love the upsets and love how the 12-team playoffs keeps all of these teams still engaged. You know who wasn't engaged on Saturday night around midnight? And that's who's the Heisman. First of all, my spelling's not engaged. But Diego Wild wasn't engaged because Cal blew it, man. Cal, I was in the game in Berkeley on Saturday. Watched Cal blow a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. But it was fantastic environment in Berkeley.
Also, shout out to calling game day going to Berkeley like 4 weeks ago. We talked about
that. No, we did call that. If someone can pull that clip, editor, Sean, Jamie, pull that up. But if someone can find that clip, we did call Berkeley game day, and it was incredible. The signs were awesome. I unfortunately was not there. That's when my flight was in the morning, but I did get to experience all the rest of the stuff. It was amazing. Always a good time in Berkeley watching football. But Cam Ward, outside of a pick, looks really good. He looks like a Heisman contender. That's why he was in my top three. People gave me some shit not having Jalen Milroe, who's laughing now. I think Cam Ward is easily that third. But Zuch, I want to talk to you because I think it's who's the Heisman for a reason. I think just becoming a two-man race. And I don't know if you agree with me.
Right now, and there's still a lot of season left. And one of the two guys in my, if it was decided this week, I think it would be Ashton Jeanty. Mm-hmm. I think he would win the Heisman. But by the time they announce the Heisman, even if he's already had a great year, but I guess if he continues on this pace, he would have
if he breaks Sanders' record, it sucks, but that's his shot. If he can break Sanders' either touchdown or rushing record.
Right. And my fear with it is you're going to have some of these guys that on bigger teams that are going to, you know, it's going to launch them even further because they, you know, if Dylan Gabriel throws for 5 touchdowns against Ohio State Saturday, then he's back in it. If Alabama or Georgia wins out and Milroe or Carson Beck look great, they're going to get favoritism, fair or not, because of where they play. And I mean, if Miami keeps scoring 40 points a game, then it might.
Although I think that's what helps Travis Hunter, because I think, you know, whether his team, maybe they win 8 games, 9 games, if he's lucky, but he does play on that big time like program with Dion and, you know, the national attention, and what he does is just incredible. I want Ashton Jeanty to win. I think, like you said, he would win if it was voted on today. I think what helps Ashton is like this visibility of college football, you know, the highlights becoming more readily available. Because Ashton Jeanty right now, you know, his box scores are like, whoa, like shocking, right? Right. Cam Ward has great box like numbers, like all these quarterbacks. Ashton Jeanty so far has had the most Heisman moments. His runs versus Oregon, Washington State, Utah State, Georgia Southern, like that's what's helping him out, at least in the public eye.
How many Heisman runs does he have? Like 9 at this point?
Yeah, it's crazy. If the Heisman was voted on in a Twitter poll, Ashton Jeanty would win. But unfortunately, it is not voted by the people. It's voted by journalists and voters who may or may not be going to bed before the West Coast games and may or may not have FS2. But it's going to be a tight race down the stretch. Looking forward to seeing that. All right, what a great weekend. Now onto our recurring segment. We have the list. It's where we find tweets and social media posts that aren't, let's just say, if an employer found them, these people would be talking to HR. So yes. Without further ado, Zuch, I think I went first last week. Who is on your list? Did you find it was a big week for burners and tweets. So this might be a little longer segment than usual.
So first and by far number one comes from Chef Corey. And it just says, DeBoer about to be the first white man to have a burning cross in his yard in the state of Alabama.
Alabama fans, man, they're nuts. This is the kind of stuff that it is. I am speechless. I remember, Zuch, you sent me that tweet, and that was a fresh one, too. That was maybe 30 minutes after the game, hour after the game. Like, he didn't even let that one marinate.
No, just threw it out there. We also have Red Dirt Sport, who said, Missouri's own fans are going to be leaving bad reviews on someone's insurance business at the end of this one.
That's a good one. I like that one. That's a classic.
That was a funny one. We also have Russell Shop, I'm not sure how to say it, just posted a picture of a bleeding Tennessee fan who looks like he got the crap.
Was that the guy who got arrested? Yep. In the Arkansas Stadium. Oh, that guy was all over the Burnerverse. His mugshot was, it was bad. That guy got,
and he has the PFG Tennessee shirt on.
Yep. Oh, always. It's either PFG or Peter Millar or Johnny O. You have to throw something on.
And I have to throw him on there because I found his Twitter and it was an immediate follow. Legend. Just Alabama halftime report, then the thumbs down emoji. The honeymoon is over. Embarrassing, disgusting, and unpaired comes to mind. I think he meant unprepared, but he put unpaired. The honeymoon is definitely over, and our defense is getting dominated, and our defensive coordinator is getting abused. We need to wake the hell up. Also, shout out to the Alabama fan who blamed the loss on having a 17-year-old receiver who has far and away been your best weapon on offense.
The best offensive weapon, bro. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that was a lot. I also have a lot because, like I said, this was a big week. My first one comes from 1v20 or let Mac coach another year. This was a UNC fan. And it said the 1v20 was referring to a drunk UNC fan who marched up the Virginia Tech student section and tried to fight 20 students. That's from @HeelCentral. Great tweet, but you are now on the watch. The second one is actually a thread I have. It's from this Michigan fan account. And it says, Connor Stallions says he knew of a Power 4 team that's been using Bluetooth connection in QB helmets for years. That's @JJ1of1. Then @OfficialOhioStateDG says, when the murderer goes on trial, if his defense is someone who beat their wife, he's already lost. Kind of stating, you know, Connor Stallions is guilty and now he's just kind of pointing fingers at little crimes, you know. Then Brett Rickard @BuzzATC says, weren't your coaches the one beating their wives? Just has to stop. Referring to the Ohio State coaching staff. It just has to stop. Then my favorite one, Zuch, and I sent this to you, was from @HailToSnerd. Fred Snerd said, tip the executive housekeeper $100 to let me in Pat Narduzzi's suite for 5 minutes. I left him dinner for when he arrives. She agreed not to flush the toilet. And this guy just dropped a deuce in Pat Narduzzi's private toilet. That's the one that takes the cake for me this week. That guy has to be put in jail. @HailToSnerd. You need to watch list.
And we aren't even in mid-October yet, so this is only, you know, this is only the beginning. And it, honest to God, in what, 4 weeks? Yep, 4 weeks now. 4 weeks from now, we'll have a much clearer picture of who's going to be in the playoff. However, there is a big event exactly 4 weeks from now that combined with the deep territory of college football will make Twitter completely unhinged.
Yes, the election cycle times college football. It's just the election cycle times the burnerverse. This is going to be an all hands on deck kind of month. And we need all of you guys too. Please, like you said, if you see something, let us know. These are some tweets that are funny. Sometimes it's just, man, these unhinged people. It's like I said, it's a game. Do not be tweeting about crosses in Kalen DeBoer's lawn. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
It just shows you, Harvey, when Harvey Updike said, they're like, why did you poison the trees? And he's like, I got too much Bama in me. That was his direct quote.
Yep.
There is a lot of Harvey Updikes out there, and they aren't messing around.
They are not messing around. Well, let's move on to the games tomorrow, because there are a lot of good ones. And before we do, just want to remind all you guys again that you can use code ZANW15 for 15% off all merch in the Settle Down store. Please do it. I got my t-shirt. Zuch got his t-shirt. Everyone in Settle Down's got t-shirt. My dad has a t-shirt. Like I said, I used his Cal Zuch Wild t-shirt as Cal merch for this game because I had none when I flew up. But let's move on to the Red River rivalry. This is the first game we're going to touch on in this great slate. Zuch, I want to talk to you first. What does Oklahoma have to do to win the game? Because they open as, I think, over a touchdown spread. They are underdogs by over a touchdown.
Be about 20 times better on offense than they have been all year if they want to even have a shot. Now, part of me thinks that it's either going to be Texas is going to win 41-7 or Oklahoma's going to win. You know, I still think Texas is a little bit, everyone has said, oh, Ole Miss is untested. Alabama, I guess Alabama beat Georgia, but Alabama hadn't played in anyone, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how good Michigan is. We talked about that a minute ago.
Yeah.
So, granted, I don't know how good Oklahoma is either, but I don't think Oklahoma's great by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a rivalry game. I mean, if Oklahoma can't, I think this is a little bit different one than, Oklahoma's used to this game. It might say it might be an SEC game, but I think this is probably the game this year out of all the big ones Oklahoma has that they're the most comfortable in. So,
yeah, no, it's neutral site. It's in a stadium that they know that they play every year. Ewers is back, or at least he's trending towards being back for Texas. So that'll be a nice, interesting storyline to see how he returns from injury. And when we brought it up a couple weeks ago, let's say Ewers starts a little slow and maybe they're down three in the second quarter. Who knows? Does Manny get the call? But I think the only chance Oklahoma has is that if Hawkins Jr. shows up and kind of has the game of his life, kind of establishes himself as I am the next OU great quarterback. Do you remember when Caleb Williams, when he was a freshman, played in that Cotton Bowl? And it's not that he even played the best game, I would say, but it's he showed you flashes wow, that's going to be a guy. I think that's the kind of game that Hawkins Jr. has to have at quarterback for OU, because I think that offense has just been brutal. I mean, Jackson Arnold, like I said, the goatee was weighing him down. I've said it a million times before. You shave that goatee, you're probably an elite college player. But I think some people, they're going to say, oh, man, maybe the Oklahoma defense can try to stop this offense and the DBs and the D-line. No. In my opinion, it's just going to have to be, does Hawkins Jr. have the game of his life in him this Saturday?
Yeah, and I think it's going to have to be one of those that, the Texas defense doesn't, completely come apart, but they allow 28 to 40-ish points, maybe. I don't think it's going to be, Oklahoma won, we saw, a few years ago, that game that was, 63 to 56 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be that, but I think that if Oklahoma does win, it'll kind of be like that Alabama-Vanderbilt game where it's happened. Quinn Ewers has had, and Arch Manning have had, a couple bad throws here and there.
Oklahoma's
got to turn those into points. Like, if you get a turnover, mm-hmm. go down there and score and be aggressive on those, you know, fourth and twos, fourth and threes, even fourth and one for sure, like at or near midfield, go for it. Like, you don't, like, this win doesn't do a ton for Texas. Like, it's a big win over a rival in a game that, you know, Oklahoma's a ranked team or whatever, but it doesn't change Texas's narrative at all. If Oklahoma wins this one, they're in the top 10. Like, people are, they're in the playoff competition or conversation if they win this one. So it's a very big game for Brent Venables.
It is. And I'm excited. It's always exciting to see, like, the Cotton Bowl, the overage shot, the Texas State Fair there in Dallas. It's going to be great. I'm just fingers always crossed, because it always reminds me of the Red River rivalry when the Boomer Sooner wagon tipped over. Always hoping for that every year. But the biggest game, at least not traditional rivalry, is Oregon, Ohio State, the biggest game in terms of ranked teams, the top 10 matchup. This is, in my opinion, the game I'm looking forward to the most. You got Oregon hosting Ohio State. I think Ohio State is the much better team. I think they have a quarterback that's serviceable, good enough. Defense is loaded, weapons all over the field. Now, I think the key to this game for Ohio State is you prove with your loaded DBs that, yo, everyone says Dylan Gabriel can play in the NFL. Prove it. Because Dylan Gabriel has been a little iffy all year. Dylan Gabriel needs to look at this as, hey, I got to ball out against these guys, because you will not see another secondary like this till probably the playoffs, Gabriel. Like, people, like, if you want to prove that you're the guy, Heisman Trophy contender, NFL draft pick, you got to ball out against this defense. That's where I think the game is. I think Gabriel's been underwhelming, and this is a chance for him to prove that he's not.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's obviously a huge game. Like, you win this, whoever wins this game is going to far and away be the odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten. But outside of those first couple weeks where Oregon played Idaho super close and then Boise State super close, neither one of these teams have been talked about. You know,
I think they've been playing bad teams. That's why. I mean, Boise got a couple of traction just because we're in the bubble of Boise, but.
Right. But overall, it's not been, you know, what you're used to seeing. Like, obviously, I mean, Ohio State's what, number two? Or are they number one? Mm-hmm. It's Texas. Yeah.
They're
Ohio
two. State. Yeah. They're Texas two. Number one.
So, I mean, yeah, they've played Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, Michigan State, Iowa. So this is, I mean, if Ohio State loses this one, there are going to be a lot of questions surrounding Ryan Day. Fair or not, I mean, this is one of those ones that he has to go out, and it's really only been Michigan the past couple years. But I feel like you got to win this one if you're Ryan Day. I mean, Oregon, I don't think Dan Lanning's going anywhere, but, you know, if you're Ohio State has Oregon, mm-hmm. Nebraska, and Penn State, and it's at Penn State. So, which we'll get into that conversation a little bit later with Penn State and USC,
because
that's kind of a big game too. But I'm leaning Oregon in this one. I think that they've fixed a couple things that were kind of hurting them at the beginning of the season. They haven't looked great by any stretch of the imagination, but they're 5-0-2, and I guess we'll see. I mean, I don't know. This one's hard to pick because I just haven't seen a ton from Ohio State and Oregon. Like I said, they kind of got shit on in the first couple weeks, but we've seen other top 10 teams lose those games. Oregon has won, so.
Yeah, that makes it's definitely, it's something that I think it's another thing I want to bring up about this game is that it's in Oregon. I think that home field crowd is definitely going to play a role into seeing what Ohio State can do. I mean, when's the last time that Ohio State played in Oregon?
I don't even know if they have.
See, like, that's the thing where it's like, I don't know what Ohio State is going to be able to, like, how they're going to respond in Autzen. I've been to Autzen. I don't know if you've ever been to Autzen, but I've been to Autzen. You've been to Washington Husky Stadium up in Seattle. So they get loud in the Pacific Northwest. Another thing I wanted to bring up in this game is I think that I don't know if you touched on it, but the Oregon DBs are going to have the matchup of their life. Because Oregon's been playing all right. The DBs have been playing all right, but how are those DBs going to match up with probably the 5 NFL wide receivers that Ohio State has? That's what I'm looking forward most to.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game. However, I have to admit it will not be my main priority of watching on.
Oh, no, because we're going to move on to your main priority, and that is Ole Miss versus LSU. This is the game. I called it, Zuch, the loser leaves town game, because I think the loser of this game is going to have a tough time squeaking into at least the SEC championship, probably the playoff as well.
Yeah, the loser of this, you have to win out, basically, unless a ton of just abnormal things happen and the Big Ten, whoever wins the Big Ten has 2 losses, whoever wins the ACC has a couple losses, whoever wins the SEC has a couple losses, whoever wins the Big 12 is going to have a couple losses, which I am praying with every fiber of my being it's not BYU who wins the Big 12. That is starting to look like a real possibility, but
100%.
I honestly feel pretty confident that Ole Miss is going to win this game. I think that LSU, like, it's college football is so weird because a couple weeks ago, everyone was, you know, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky, right? And they're like, oh, they're overrated. Offense looks bad, blah, blah, blah. And like, there's a lot of people saying that South Alabama is going to give LSU a fight. And that game ended up being like 48-10. So as long as Ole Miss doesn't have like a repeat of that Kentucky game, you know, 1 of 10 on third down, Jackson Dart couldn't hit any open receivers on the deep ball, which he struggled a little bit with last week. And there were still a couple things like Juice Wells just got the ball knocked out of his hands at like the 4-yard line. That would have, and I can't be mad, Ole Miss won 27-3 over South Carolina, but I think LSU's defense is still a little bit questionable. And I think I think LSU will score. I think Ole Miss will score. But the most underrated part about Ole Miss so far has been their defense. You know, held South Carolina to 3. They, what was it, 20? I don't even want to look up the score because it annoys me, but they allowed 20 to Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
So their defense has been really, really good. I mean, they have the first 4 games which weren't super tough opponents, but they haven't allowed more than 20 points 6 games into the season. So like that defensive line is really good. I am a little bit concerned about Trey Harris possibly not playing because
that would be a big one. You know, and especially on offense, especially so. in a night game at LSU where it's going to be tough to, you know, kind of call passing audibles and, you know, players getting frazzled is going to be at a very high, whether they want to or not, whether they come prepared. I know Ole Miss is, you know, there's SEC teams are more used to playing in those big environments than if LSU gets a non-con team in there, right? But Ole Miss, I think a key to this game for them is kind of like Oklahoma. I think Jackson Dart needs a rebound game. He needs a game that says, you know, I am one of the best quarterbacks of the SEC. Right. I am here to lead Ole Miss to the playoff. Like, look, I know some people are high on Garrett Neusmeyer. I know fellow Tiger fan, not, I guess not fellow, because I'm not an LSU fan, resident Tiger fan, Ryan Yeros. This is another settle down bowl this week, Zuch versus Ryan, which, you know, we talk about the listings, people getting testy on Twitter. This is going to get testy in the group chat this Saturday. Let's just say that. I don't know what you or Ryan have cooked up for each other, but this, I don't know.
It's going to be a fun one. There's a couple things that are going to happen in this game that I'm like positive. One is Brian Kelly's face will be as red as an apple at some point during the season. Cause like I said, I really do think that Ole Miss's defense is going to, like, there's still some questions at corners and stuff like that, but LSU can't run the ball like at all. They couldn't even run it against Michigan, and other teams have made that look like have been able to run against Michigan. Mm-hmm. USC, not Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, even that South Carolina game, like LSU kind of got a little bit lucky in that one, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like South Carolina had two defensive touchdowns called back or something like that. So, I mean, and I could be completely wrong. Maybe the environment's too much and LSU just steamrolls Ole Miss and LSU's like a playoff contender, but
yeah,
they struggled a little bit with UCLA too. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. Of course you think Ole Miss is going to win. I want to believe Ole Miss is going to win this game. There's a part of me though that just keeps reeling me in and say this is going to be another sneaky like 10 win LSU team, and like they're going to have to get a win somewhere.
That is the LSU.
If I have to choose, you know what? F it. I'll roll with Ole Miss. I got Ole Miss this game. Why not?
Go Ole Miss. I think it. I don't know. I've gone back and forth a little bit. Like the stuff with the Kentucky game still scares me, but I'm also like, I don't think Ole Miss is going to go 1 of 10 on third down. Like you're not going to beat a lot of teams when you're 1 of 10 on third down, because that means like that was just an off game. I think LSU has had more off games, you know, tied with UCLA at halftime.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But all I know is it's going to be a good game. We're just going to talk quickly, just a couple points on some other games, Zuch, if you had any. Colorado, Kansas State, that's going to be fun. It's going to be a real, real fun one. Because those are, I mean, if Colorado wins this, I think they're back ranked.
Five and one, they're definitely ranked.
Yeah, it'd be 5-1 with a win over UCF, but I think K-State's real good. I mean, Avery Johnson just has idiot moments sometimes. But other than that, I mean, it's just a classic Kansas State team. And then a homer pick, but not a homer pick. If any of you guys are wanting some late night football, just tune into CBS Sportsnet. Watch Ashton Gentry run all over everyone. They're playing Hawaii on the Big Island, who also, we could have a list for big content guy every week if we wanted to. But again, best account on Twitter. But he always talks. Do you think if Ashton Gentry, if you had to guess, pulled off a big run, there will be a Big Island tweet from big content guy?
Oh, 100%. He was tweeting about Sean Manaea of the Mets today. So he will be tweeting about Ashton Gentry and it'll show like with that game, since that'll be kind of the, you know, dessert for the end of the people. Mm-hmm. Will be like kind of looking around to end their day and have that.
Yeah.
Have just watched the Oregon game or the Ole Miss game. Mm-hmm. One of those two. I feel like every time there's like a top 15 matchup at the same time, one of them's a blowout. So
yeah,
and the other one's like really, really good. So we'll definitely be talking about it though.
We will see. We will see. All right. Well, we're gonna move on to our last segment of the day, and that is another recurring segment. We have the meme matchup of the day. I think you went first last week, Zuch. So I'm going to go first this week. You know, this is such a good week. There wasn't a bunch of super, super funny matchups, but I'm going to go with the classic, Zuch, Stanford versus Notre Dame, the fart sniffer bowl, as I call it. Never been two more fart sniffing fan bases. You know, you got Notre Dame 23.5 point favorite That's insane. I mean, this is a Stanford team that just came off beating Syracuse. I don't know what they're saying, but so this is what's funny to me, though, is that it's a 23.5-point favorite, but the total amount of points is 45.5. That means they're expecting to what, Stanford to put up like two touchdowns?
I guess, yeah, what, like 31-14, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I always find the Stanford, Notre Dame, Navy, essentially like any of like non-state schools playing Notre Dame super funny, because I just imagine it's just like a fart sniffer off between those two fan bases. But alas, that is my meme matchup of the week, Stanford, Notre Dame.
So mine, and it is a do not get on social media matchup. Whoever loses this USC Penn State game, that coach is going to get just stay off social media. That's all I'll
Let's
say.
just say, let's just say this too. If it's Lincoln Riley who loses, let's just say there will be a picture of his brisket posted. And let's just say if James Franklin loses, there may be something that's along the lines of James Franklin when he has to play a good team. And it may or may not be Keegan Michael Key, as the in a James Franklin outfit. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, no one's even talking about that matchup, and it's USC and Penn State. It's kind of hilarious. But the and you just couldn't have any people that are that different. Like, you have Lincoln Riley, who's like the good looking, like younger guy, like all about offense, like four Heisman Trophy winners have played for him. And you have James Franklin, who kind of looks like a geek. I'm pretty sure he like hates the forward pass based on watching his teams before. So I'm going
That's
USC though. I think
funny.
USC takes out Penn State
I
and
also think USC's got it done, man. I think there's too much travel for Penn State. We didn't touch on that game. Thank you for bringing that up. We totally forgot. But yeah, those two coaches need to stay off Twitter if they lose. But man, yes, it is such a good weekend, man. This weekend, I'm gonna be watching down in San Diego with some buddies. It's gonna be awesome. Zooch, I don't know, like, are you gonna be watching? How are you? These are the games I want to say right before we end, is when you're Mountain Time or Central Time that are fun, because like you can go out to the bars, and like the Boise games start so late that like people will be like going out to the bars, but then like there'll be like the TV in like Silly Birch or like a sports bar, and like people, there's like going out people like having like fun going to a bar, and then there's like the watching the Boise State game, and it's just always the watching the football, watching crowd bars versus like the day drinking, just like having fun people interact is just amazing at bars. I love it.
And it's, one of those things, kind of like with the tournament when it's St. Patrick's Day weekend, and you get that late, like 8:40 or so tip off for whoever's got like
Oh
the
yeah.
Western region, and
Yeah.
you'll go out. You've kind of been watching games all day, but you're like, oh, we're gonna go out at St. Patrick's Day, and you like, there's always a point if one of those games is close that like the bar just erupts, because I feel like that's every
Oh
time that like a
yeah.
13 seed beats a 4 seed or something like
Yeah.
that. So you have people
Exactly.
who aren't even huge fans of the sport that pick that in their bracket or whatever, but it's a great weekend. I mean, they've set it up well, because let me pull up the schedule real quick as our last thing to see the exact times for some of these.
Yeah, they. I mean, at least for us West Coast guys, they're kind of easing our way in. All the good games are 12:30 and later, at
Yeah,
least
I mean,
Pacific Coast time.
you get the, I mean, I think a lot of people will be watching this South Carolina game to see South
Yeah.
Carolina, Alabama, but then 1:30, you got the Red River rivalry and USC Penn State, and that goes into, I mean, Arizona Utah or Arizona BYU is not a bad matchup either.
No.
Florida Tennessee at 5, that one's not getting talked about. Then you got the 5:30 with Ohio State, Oregon, Ole Miss, LSU. And then even 8:15, you got Kansas State, Colorado. So it's a full day of good games.
No, it's going to be good. I'm excited. Thank you guys all for listening. We really do appreciate listening. If you want to make sure you give us a like, make sure you subscribe to the channel, make sure you're following us on social media. This is why we do it. You can see not only all of our clips, but all of everyone else's clips on Settle Down. We just got Ryan Seacurt from Takeover. Is it Takeover Sports? Takeover Sports is doing collabs with us now. He's got some great content. If you love BSU players, BSU specific content, please go give him a follow. But man, I'm so excited. Zuch, do you have anything else?
Nothing else. Enjoy the games. We're at the time of the year that sports are the best. You have college football going on. You got the NFL going on. Speaking of tweets that need to stop, the Robert Saleh, the things I've seen tweeted about that man and heard about that man from some Northeasterners this weekend, I will not divulge on here, but it was not nice. But no, you got NFL, you got college football. I personally think that the MLB playoffs are some of the best things to watch on TV. I get people not wanting to watch regular season baseball. I totally get that. But playoff baseball is great.
Oh,
the weather's starting to get nice. Like, the crowds are great at baseball playoffs. Even had the NHL start up. NBA soon. So you're in, you're creeping into that, like, holiday season where there's sports on every night, meaningful sports. It's not, July, stuff like that.
Enjoy
it because you got.
It'll be over before we know it.
It's like 5 months or so, and then you're back to regular season sports and regular season college basketball.
Yeah, and just endless LeBron debates on First Take. Yeah. But thank you all for listening. Make sure to watch the games, and we will see you next week.